Good evening, everyone. We're going to begin in just a minute. I just wanted to remind you this is the Establishing a Daily Practice module. This is class 2 of 6. If you didn't already pick up the handout that's outside the door, I had it out there last week. I've got more copies this week. All the information you need to know, maybe all the information you need to know, is on that handout. My email is also on that handout as well. Hamitz was up here a moment ago, in case you need to email him. There it is. Okay. So you got that there. And I just want to encourage you on that handout. It's the About Discovering Buddhism handout, Establishing a Daily Practice. And on that handout does list out all of the readings. On the back of it, you can keep track of the lectures you've attended, the meditations that you're doing at home. And I encourage you to do that. Even if you think that you don't necessarily want to plan to, you know, get the certificate for the Kanampa Center course, go ahead and do it. I mean, you never know. You can always turn it in if you complete it. And if you are working towards the FPMT, that's Foundation for the Preservation for the Mahayana Tradition, we're like under that umbrella, so fpmt.org, you can work towards the Discovering Buddhism certificate as well through the FPMT. That does require a bit more work, so be sure to check that out. And let me know if you have any questions, or Hemant or any of the other instructors as well. Let's see. Remember that all of this information can be found online, so including the handout that I'm referring to, the About Discovering Buddhism. And each week I will also, if there is any homework, I'll post that as well. So you can find homework from previous classes or tonight's class online. I try to do that, you know, once I get home on Monday nights. That doesn't always happen, but I try. So you can find that within the day or so online. So basically, if you go to kadampa-center.org and then click on Spiritual Programs and then Discovering Buddhism and then Discovering Buddhism Materials, you'll see all of the online readings listed first, but keep going, scrolling down, then you'll find each module. So Establishing a Daily Practice is there. You've got the About, the handout that's called About this, you know, module, and then the homework as well. And then any handouts that any of the instructors, Hemant and other instructors, have would be there as well. So that's a good resource to find things. For those of you who may be streaming at home, or if you miss a class, you can always find information online. So I just wanted to remind you about that. And then don't miss, we've got lots of really exciting upcoming opportunities. And so this Saturday, for instance, on January 18th, we have a mini Tara retreat. And so that is with Geshe Gelug. And that's going to be starting early Saturday morning. And there's 4 sessions. And from what I understand, we do encourage you to attend all 4 if possible. But if you can't, you can attend, you know, any number of those 4 sessions through the day. And the schedule is listed online. So check that out. That's this Saturday. And then a couple weeks after that, we've got Venerable Amy visiting. And she visits us, I guess, about every year or so. And she'll be doing a weekend workshop called The Path to Joy, where she will talk about different ways in which to find happiness while dealing with life's problems. So that should be a really interesting and great workshop. She's an amazing teacher. It starts on Friday, January 31st from 7 to 9, that Friday night, all day Saturday, basically 10 to 4 on Saturday, 10:30 to 4 on Sunday. So join us for that. All are part of it. And if you want to know more, of course, go online, check it out, check the calendar out. There are ways to sponsor Venerable Amy's visit, and as a sponsor, of course, you earn lots of great merit and help Kanampa Center continue to bring visiting teachers back, but also sponsors are invited to have come to an appreciation tea with the visiting teacher. So you kind of have like a little private time with Venerable Amy in a small group setting. Let me know if you have any questions, and of course, lots and lots of information online as well. And I'll stop talking now, and we can go ahead and get started. Thanks, Amy.
Interesting tape, and I need to be on the mic. But just a quick note. Maybe I should just put this up and hold on. Hold on. Okay, can you hear me? Is this on? No? Okay. It sounds like it's working. Okay. If you remember last class, I said, ask a question, why? Right? We started by saying, you should question it. Who said it? What does it mean? And why? So when you're prostrating, we're going to start with the three prostrations, you should think about it. Who am I prostrating to? Am I prostrating to anybody? Is this an ego trip? Is it something that helps me? And I'll just stop by saying that everything you do, everything we talk about, it benefits your mind. These are tools to benefit one's mind, period. If your goal is to ultimately become enlightened, okay, like a Buddha, you have a Buddha potential, then, you know, I was watching it's an Indian series of 13 CDs. It's called Life of Buddha. And one of the things Buddha was known for, according to this movie, that is, he asked a lot of questions. People actually made a joke. How is Siddhartha doing? And they would say, well, he has many questions. Why? Who said that? Where is it written? Okay? And I think you should have that inquisitive mind. It will do a couple of things. It will filter out. If something is not going in, then you have a question. And then somebody like Geshe-la, some venerable or any senior student, if they can help you, then it's a good thing to just sit down and say, hey, I really don't get it. You know, what does this really mean? And it's amazing, even personally speaking, when I started out, you know, it was very exciting, right? It's new, I'm going to go to a Buddhist center, wow, all these things to do, all these funny, beautiful colors. I can't wait. Then you go through a stage where some things are repeated, right? And you're going to say, yeah, I've heard this before. After a while, Geshe-la will say it 3, 4, 5 times. You come to the Sunday, he'll say the same thing. Come to next Sunday, he'll say the same thing. It's about the 3rd or 4th Sunday, something will click like a bulb. Oh, that's what he meant. So there's always something to learn. There's always something to find out. And if you're not questioning inside you, then it's not going in here or in your heart, right in your mind. And so, by the way, that's another thing. Tibetans say mind here. This is just the brain. It's just an organ. It does its function. You have neurons, acetylcholine, all the synapses and all that, but they're just organs. Mind is a whole other story. So be when they say, I'm telling you from my mind, the hand will go to the heart area of the body. I'm telling you genuinely. So just be aware of that. And I would say to you that when we are going through some of these things, I would want you to question that. And the only way to know. And so then we'll take it from there. So with that said, we'll do 3 prostrations. Last time, who's new here today for the first time? Oh, wow. Okay. So when we are doing prostrations, you're not bowing down to somebody. You're bowing down for your own mind and your own quality, but you're showing humility towards the teachings. Right? If you want something, you become subservient to it. Please give me. Please help me. Please, you know, give me direction. That's one way of looking at it. It also takes the pride, the arrogance away a little bit. So think about that for a while. Okay? I am so and so. You know, my name is, you know, and I don't bow down to anyone. Right? This is how we are raised. But think about it. You are picking up, like Geshe-la says, there are 84,000 teachings. All were taught by Shakyamuni Buddha, who we know as Buddha now. And he taught different people different things, right, according to their capacity. And therefore, based on your capacity and your ability to absorb, different teachings come different ways. For some things I will say today, you'll be like, oh, wait, this is too much. For some people, it's like, I've heard this 20 times. Come on, get over with it. Move on. Right? But kind of be open to that, because there are different people from different areas and different levels. So keep that in mind. So for prostrations, you're bowing down, and I have it, to remove negative karma of body, speech, and mind. You're bowing down. develop good qualities and admiration, and to respect the three gems. For those who are not familiar with the three gems, one is the Buddha, one is the teachings, the Dharma, and one is the community, the Sangha. People who wear those burgundy clothes and all of the community, that's Sangha. Okay? That is your, like, a doctor, the nurses, and the medicine. Right? Dharma is the medicine. Your Sangha is like the nurses, and Buddha is the doctor. So look at it that way. We need all three of them for it to be delivered and be cured. So that's what we are bowing down to. You don't have to get up and bow down, but when you're doing that, that's what it means. And it's good for you, okay? So, you're going to do the three prostrations, okay? I know this is repetitious sometimes. I do this every time. But I think it's very important. There are some visualizations with this too. A lot of times is to see Buddha, the beautiful rays, golden rays coming at your top of your head when you bow down, and you're cleansing your mind and your obscuration of body, speech, and mind. Body, speech, and mind. And you bow down three times, okay? And there are stories about the gestures and all that, but I'll go into that today, okay? But anyways, you understand the prostrations is very important. All right. So that was the slide I was supposed to be on. I'll catch up on that. And there's just a picture why we prostrate, meaning of the gestures and folding the hands and locations. Four locations, crown of your head, the top of front of your forehead, the throat, and the heart. Okay? Yeah, so body, speech, and mind. This is enlightened mind, so it's Buddha himself or the teachings themselves. It culminates into that. So it's like it starts here, but then you go body, speech, and mind. Right? That's another way of looking at it, right? So it's so wonderful. A couple of ways to do it. I did the half one, some people do full. Right? And some people do just real quick. And again, like I was telling you last time, you know, to think about all these positive things, everything you do, turn it into a quality of your mind. So when you go down, you can go down a slightly slow, but when you come up quickly, and don't spread your fingers. These are little symbolic things, but it creates a positive thought. They call it chicken fingers. This is all, put all the teachings come together and lift me up quickly. Right? It's a thought in your head, so every time you bow down and you come up, you're like, I'm lifting up. I'm lifting up. You say that every time you bow down in your subconscious level, it creates a mind stream of a positive thought. And who is it helping you? You. Right? So you're humble, you're doing a little exercise, you have all the positive thoughts in your mind, and it creates a really nice, and you can visualize the teachings of the Buddha himself are coming and going right through your crown into your system, into your mind. And it's a wonderful thought, just very quick thought. Buddha sitting, beautiful golden rays coming or rainbow color coming in my mind. And it's just, I'm here and I really am humble. Teach me. I want to learn Dharma. Simple as that. And that three little gestures has the whole story in it. Okay? Okay, so the plan for today. We're going to do a nice meditation today. Okay? We're going to combine our calm abiding motivation and a meditation that I did not do last time because of the video we had of 26 minutes. So it took away some time from me. So today we're going to do that. And the whole idea about this meditation are two things. You know, there's two energies we are talking about, two qualities. One is clarity. For those people who have a hard time visualizing, this will help you. Yeah? So you clearly can see something and keep it there for a while. That's one thing. And the intensity of your thought. Your mind wants to go away like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I'll get back to it. Right? Your mind does that number. Or you're tired from work, or you came driving and it's like you're not there yet. But this will help you bring your thoughts back to concentration and give you that energy, the intensity with which you want to clearly visualize. Some people cannot visualize clearly, but this will help you. So that's the two energies of quality of mind that we will be talking about. And it will help you stay engaged. hopefully. Okay? And you want to hold the object or a deity of concentration in front of you and see how long you can keep it. Okay? So it's designed. I will be reading this meditation while you will be putting your mind to it, and I want you to have a clarity, calmness, and the intensity. See everything, every word means something. Okay, so we'll do that. But before I do that, as we go into meditation, I do want to go and talk to you about a couple of things. So I think it's important. So when we go through meditation, your mind is not going like, what did he just say? You know, what is that, omniscience? He used the word mudra. He said the word deva. What does this all mean? I think it's important to get that out of your head. So let's just go through a couple of those things, okay? So when we say Buddha is omniscience, or when we say Buddha, not out there, we have the capacity to become Buddha. We, our mind, is all-knowing, right? So think about that for a second. If you have the capability and the capacity to become a Buddha, you will become omniscient and omnipotent. The other word, power and knowing all. All knowing. So there's a word called omniscience. It's a state of knowing everything. So imagine the Buddha. He can see everything and knows it all. That's your capacity. That's your capability of your mind. Okay? Not out there. Not in some deity. But it's a quality that your mind is developing. Follow that? Okay. All right. Then you'll hear a word like root guru. And some people are sitting here saying, well, this is my first time. What is a guru? I don't need a guru. I don't have a guru. It's okay. It doesn't have to be a guru. Guru is a teacher. Right? Guru is root guru is the one that helps you, understands you, knows you. When you think about teaching and learning, that's what comes in your mind. If you don't have one, you can just keep Buddha's figure, because a lot of teachings came from there, so he's a root guru. He taught us all these things. So it's okay. All right? Then you see mudra, the word M-U-D-R-A. Those are hand gestures. When I say put your hand, this hand over this hand, and that's a mudra of meditation. Then you'll see sometimes this way, teaching. There are different mudras, hand gestures. Then we say, you know, everything, Buddhas are in all 10 directions. What is he talking about? What 10 directions? I just know 4 directions. So think about north, south, east, west, 4 done. In between are 4 more. Northeast, right? Northwest, that way. And then front and back. In other words, the idea is universe, everywhere. That's another way of putting 10 directions. Okay? And then the next word is deva. Sometimes they use this word for the desire realm beings, people who have a higher realm, but they're still cherishing and self-cherishing and all that, but they have long life and all the luxuries and all the wealth and all the beautiful things in life, but they're called devas, period. Okay? Something like they're called demigods, or, you know, that kind of a realm, not Buddha's omniscient mind. They still have a lot of obscurations. They just did so many good things in life that they are in a celestial or some sort of a higher state of dimension. Okay?
They live on Earth?
No, it could be. We don't know. They could be form or without form. They could be anywhere. Could be a billionaire sitting out there with a kind heart. I don't know. Or they could be in a different realm, a formless realm. Right? And you don't see them. But they can see each other, maybe. Okay? And then you hear the word arhat. What is an arhat? Anybody knows? You hear that all the time. 16 arhats, 21 arhats, 21,000 arhats. So there are two types of beings. Even in Buddhism, there are two levels, right? One is called Hinayana, one is called Mahayana. We are Mahayana. Mahayana looks at enlightened beings. You become enlightened to benefit all sentient beings, we say that. In Hinayana, you have cleared out all the chatter of your mind and you've liberated yourself. But it's self-oriented. Enlightenment goes even beyond that. Right? So arhat means already a big feat. Mind you, think about your mind completely clear of obscurations, and you have at least liberated yourself. Right? But there are still few things left because it is self-liberation. I is still there. But when you do Mahayana, Maha means greater vehicle, Yana means vehicle, it's not one is bad and one is good. You need all. You need to be in a kindergarten, first, second, and third grade to be in the fourth and fifth and sixth grade. You need all of this. You have to liberate yourself, become enlightened, so then you become a Buddha to benefit others. So it's not, I'm not discriminating against one or the other, just so you know the word arhat. Follow that? All right. The next slide I'm going to show you is during this meditation, we're going to say this. It's a chant. It's a really nice sound. I'm not a good singer, but it sounds something like, Namo Guru Bhya, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dharmaya, Namo Sanghaya. It's something like that. But what that really means is, to the Guru I take refuge. To the Buddha I take refuge. To the Dharma I take refuge. To the Sangha I take refuge. Taking a refuge is like saying, when a child goes to the mother, when they want something, they know inherently mom is going to take care of them. Right? You're not making a list. You just hold mother's hand. When there's a fear, something you're sitting in the movie with, something happens, goes holds on to the mother. You're going into refuge. You're taking protection of. Okay? So this will come up. So remember those words. Okay? Omniscience, root guru, mudra, 10 directions, deva and arhat. Omniscience, mind. Root guru is, you can call Buddha or your teacher. Mudra are hand gestures. 10 directions are everywhere, all around you. Deva is just another form or formless being. And arhat is just a person that has liberated self. Okay? Now I feel a little comfortable about giving you today. We're going to go through this overview today. But before we go, let's just bring your minds here. Let's get into a comfortable position. Okay, when we say comfortable position, the seven posture meditation posture, okay? Back is straight, okay? The mouth and the jaw is not clenched. Your feet, you're sitting in a, what they call a vajra position, cross-legged, like a lot of people are sitting here. If you're not comfortable, in the chair is perfectly fine. Feet are on the floor. The whole idea is not tighten up, loose. You don't want to get dull. At the same time, you don't want to be too clenched. Just relax. Just be here. And know that you made a determination to come here to learn, to observe, to do whatever you want to do. But today, right now, you are here, and you're going to put your mind to this place and to the teachings. Okay? So just, and then once you are in that position, you feel comfortable, just bring your mind to the breath. And why do we, here's the question, why do we think about breath? Breath is neutral. So without any titles, labels, it's good to bring your mind to the neutral place. So if it's dull, it can think and come back to the normal state. If it is too excited, you can bring it down a little bit. So focus on your breath. And as you breathe in and out, just concentrate on your breath. And if you notice that your mind is wandering, it wants to go into a story, start seeing colors, whatever it is, observe it, accept that it's there, but then tell your mind to come back to the breath. It helps to calm down. It helps to concentrate. Let's do that for a minute or two. So let's set motivation. Let's spend a moment to set our motivation, starting honestly with ourselves. Asking ourselves the question, why am I listening to these sessions? Why am I making this effort? What is it that I have to gain? Even if it is something as simple as less distress in my mind, embracing that and accepting that. Recognizing that each person listening to these teachings and present here has a simple wish, some longing to be fulfilled, some suffering of the body or mind of which they would like to be free, or they're excited simply to learn Dharma. Then expanding our motivation to include all those present, thinking, by virtue of making this effort to listen to these teachings, may each of these beings fulfill the longings to their heart, be free from suffering, and achieve the happiness they seek. That by virtue of listening to these teachings, may I be able to repay all the kindness ever done to me 1,000-fold. May I remember each one, and may I swiftly attain all the qualities of enlightenment, that I might quickly be able to do this. Now we'll move into meditation. Keeping that motivation in our mind, our wish to benefit and to become completely awakened as quickly as possible in order to do that. And recognizing that as long as our minds are untrained, unconcentrated, it will be impossible to make real progress in our practice. So then, in order to fulfill our deepest wishes, we'll do this practice of concentration for the benefit of all living beings. So now visualize at the level of your forehead, about 2 meters or 6 feet in front of you, is a large golden throne. It is beautifully adorned with jewels and supported at each corner by a pair of snow lions. On the throne is a fully developed lotus. On that are the sun and the full moon disks. Upon the lotus, the sun and the moon is seated Shakyamuni, Buddha, who has achieved perfect cessation of all suffering and all obscurations, and has attained all perfections and realizations. He is the manifestation of the omniscient, all-knowing mind of all Buddhas, the ultimate Guru. He is inseparable from your root Guru, who shows the unmistaken path and is bound with infinite compassion to you and all sentient beings. His body is in the nature of golden light, is very magnificent, and he wears 3 robes of monk. His face is beautiful and has a loving smile, his compassionate eyes looking towards you, but simultaneously encompass all sentient beings. His mind, free of all judgmental critical thoughts, and accepts you fully. His eyes are long, narrow, and fine. His gaze is very peaceful. His eyes are half closed. His lips are red. His hair is blue-black, each hair individually curls to the right. On the crown of his head is a crown pinnacle. The palm of his right hand rests on his right knee, and the middle finger touches the moon cushion. His left hand rests in his lap in the mudra of meditation, the hand gesture. In his left hand, he is holding a bowl filled with nectar. His body is in a vajra posture, and he sits peacefully in the center of interlaced beams of light. Each feature of his body, his holy body, represents an aspect of the omniscient mind, his inner attainments. Each feature also demonstrates the causes, that is, the merit that was collected in the past. No matter how much one looks at Shakyamuni Buddha, one is never satiated. The supreme refuge Shakyamuni Buddha encompasses the Guru, the Buddha, the Dharma, and Sangha. From his holy body, beams are emitted in all 10 directions. Numberless manifestations of Shakyamuni Buddha are carried on each beam to ripen infinite sentient beings. Looking at me with compassionate eyes, Shakyamuni Buddha says, "Son or daughter of this lineage, if you want to be liberated from the suffering of samsara, I will guide you." He happily promises this and frees me from the breathless state. So hold this image in your mind as clearly as possible with great energy of mind, allowing your mind to become completely absorbed into the image before us, the Enlightened One, our teacher. Not being concerned with whether or not we can see Buddha, but rather feeling the Buddha's presence. Holding that feeling strongly in your mind, acknowledging that there is an Enlightened One who only wants to teach and guide us, if only we can pay attention. And so, all our hearts pay full attention to Buddha. If the mind fades, concentrate on the brilliance of the golden light emanating from Buddha's body. Concentrate on our wish to always be in the presence of teachers and to be able to hear them whenever we have the slightest doubt. Realizing that Shakyamuni Buddha is not an image, he is an experience. So hold the meditation for another minute, trying to give it your undivided attention for the benefit of all. And while holding the presence of Shakyamuni Buddha clearly in your mind, doing the meditation on refuge, just listen, bringing the words to your heart as much as possible. Let's take refuge. Around me are seated infinite father and mother sentient beings. They are filled with unimaginable sufferings of each of the six realms. They are wide-eyed, desperately looking for refuge, pitifully calling, screaming. Think, continuously circling in samsara, six realms. I have been tormented by suffering during beginningless births, rebirths, until now. I have still not found the opportunity to be liberated from this. Fortunately, this time I have received a perfect human body. And because of my good fortune, I have met the most sublime teaching, the Buddha Dharma, and the founder Shakyamuni Buddha. I have no certainty that I will not die today. My death could happen even today. However, if I should die today, I would have no freedom to choose the realm in which I could reincarnate. I could possibly fall down into one of the realms of the evil migratory beings. So think carefully about whether I would be able to bear those sufferings for even 1 second. Although it is extremely unlikely, if I were to achieve the body of a deva or a human, I would still ceaselessly tormented by many hundreds of sufferings, such as rebirth, old age, sickness, death, dissatisfaction, anxiety, lack of fulfillment, problems in life, and so forth. And after that, I would again fall down into the lower realms. There is nothing to trust about being in the upper realms. Thus, during this one time that I have obtained a perfect human body with freedoms and richnesses, I am being guided by the sublime virtuous friend, my Lama, my teacher, who reveals the path. And I have the wisdom to discriminate between shortcomings of samsara and the benefits of liberation. Therefore, I should quickly achieve liberation from this terrifying samsara. Yet, to liberate only myself from samsara is not at all sufficient. This is not the meaning of my life. Numberless sentient beings, equaling limitless sky, are wandering in the suffering states of samsara. They have all been my fathers and mothers. Therefore, I must liberate them and lead them to peerless happiness of full enlightenment. So the question is, who is the refuge and guide who liberates from the great oceans of beginless samsara? There is no other except the three sublime ones. Therefore, together, I and each and every migratory being, equaling the sky, go for the refuge to the Guru Triple Gem, the founder, the fully enlightened one, the Dharma, the scriptural understanding and realizations, and the Sangha, the transcendental assembly. And as we recite the refuge chant, feeling from the depth of our hearts our wish to be guided, blessed and protected, and especially contact that longing in our hearts and our wish to make our lives as meaningful as possible. So we recite the refuge prayer, first visualizing streams of white nectar and light flowing down from Shakyamuni Buddha, purifying ourselves and those around us of the defilements, all the mental veils, all sufferings. Namo Guru Bhya, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dharmaya, Namo Sangha, yeah. To the Guru, I go to refuge. To the Buddha, I go to refuge. To the Dharma, I go for refuge. To the Sangha, I go for refuge. Then visualizing a final purifying stream of white nectar and light pouring forth from the Holy Guru Shakyamuni Buddha's body and mind cleansing myself and all beings of all sufferings and the causes of sufferings. As we recite the refuge chant or say the mantra, then visualizing the golden beams of nectar and light come forth from Shakyamuni Buddha's body and mind, filling our own body and mind with all happiness and the causes of happiness, especially all the realizations on the path to enlightenment, and in particular, the realization of bodhicitta and the wisdom realizing emptiness. To the Guru, I go for refuge. To the Buddha, I go for refuge. To the Dharma, I go for refuge. To the Sangha, I go for refuge. Then in response to our sincere request for refuge, for the protection, the guidance, the blessings, Shakyamuni Buddha then comes down to the crown of our heads and melts into the stream of golden light and descends to our heart, becoming inseparably mixed with our mind. Okay, bring your attention here to the class. Thank you. So, great meditation. If you can just know that it's your mind is that pure, it can help you. And Buddha is there to help you. Okay? Okay. So just for the sake of people that are new, I'll just very quickly summarize next 5-10 minutes of what we covered last time. Okay? So this is the 8th module of Discovering Buddhism, and you can start in any module. As far as you complete all of them, you get a real good view of the entire understanding, at least the basic understanding of all the courses and the materials covered. Okay? And before this module, actually, we talked about, you already may have gone through mind and its potential, how to meditate, death and rebirth, presenting the path, karma, okay, relating to the spiritual teacher, and following this, they're going to have one on refuge. Okay? So hopefully these classes that you've taken or have learned or attended have helped us to integrate some of these teachings and put teachings into practice. Okay, this is where this class comes in. However, we talked about insensitivity to Dharma very quickly. A lot of people come here to learn or go to different classes. They absorb a lot of knowledge, and they call in Tibetan lung. You get this torpor in your mind where nothing really goes in. You're not experiencing it. It's just a lot of knowledge. And the whole idea of practicing is to make it your own experience, to progress towards Buddhahood. Okay? So it's important that we practice. You sometimes feel, even after going to classes and going to teachings, you still have a strong sense of self. We still are blaming people. We are still very judgmental. We all do that many times. That means the Dharma is not fully soaked in yet. Because once you realize how things really exist and how mind works, you won't be doing that. Your mind changes. You see it very differently. But when mind is soaking into your mind, when the Dharma is soaking into your mind, okay, It's like, almost like I gave you an example last time. It's like when you hear that song that you haven't heard, but you can hear it again and again and again, gives you good feeling. It always brings you good memories, right? You're ready to sing again, no matter how many times you hear it. Or when you see a teacher you haven't seen for a while, and you get emotional. Or you get that warm feeling. Oh, my teacher called me today, right? That feeling, that's the energy. Then you know something has happened. So, and then we talked about Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Pabongka Rinpoche. These are all very learned teachers, have said Lamrim. Lamrim is a teaching in Buddhism, stages to the path. It teaches you step by step how to become a Buddha. And it's your last chance. All these books are translated in English for you. The teachings have been passed down by teacher to teacher to teacher and student and teacher, all the way to Kadampa Center, or many other centers. We have a Geshe here, Geshe-la, and he's teaching us Lamrim. So just think for a second, where this has come from, and what people used to do to learn these things, and it's already been presented to you. So they say Lamrim is your last chance, guys. You know, if you don't incorporate that, then you develop a lot of insensitivity. Okay? And then we talked about mind and dharma gap, right? We see dharma for the Sundays and the rest of the life, Monday to Friday or Saturday, right? It's like a separate pieces. It's not like that. You're changing your mind. That means every day is a dharma. Okay? I'll give you an example of how if you have a parents, friends, or somebody, you have a hard time and dharma is not there. Once you have dharma soaked in, you see differently. You're wanting to help them now. You're wanting to do something good. So again, another example of that. And I gave you an analogy of mind is like a leather and the dharma is like a butter. In Tibet, they slowly work the butter into the leather to make it pliable, to make bags and saddle and shoes and purses and wallets and whatever, right? But it also, if they don't work it in, the butter can become very hard and does not go into the leather. So it's like dharma. If you don't work it, if you don't practice it, if you don't make it your own experience, it hardens. And it's very difficult then. Right? So this is where I said the rubber meets the road. Okay? You've gotten this information. What do I do about it? How do I put this into real work? Tell me about it. Give you a quick shot, real quick, about, you know, if you've done your homework and you read about the advice from Lama Zopa Rinpoche, this is part of your readings. For those who are new, it is a very short reading. I had asked last class to at least read it. It talks about what kind of mind you should have in the morning. Lama Zopa Rinpoche then goes into how you can get up, develop bodhicitta. Bodhicitta is this compassionate feelings to help all sentient beings. Okay? You want to develop that mindset, expand your mind when you get up and it's fresh. And develop that mind. It stays almost all day with you. And then he talks about the prostrations you can do, some practices you can do. He talks about the Guru Yoga, the Lamrim prayers, and mantras to recite. Remember this. All you have to take from this is, your mind somewhere says, when am I going to learn all these things? Seems a little foreign to me. These are tools to help your mind. They're giving you the medicine, saying, these are your options, and this is if you do it this way, it will help your mind. So now we're going to talk about today how to establish those things. What do I do first? What do I do second? Okay? Then he talks about you can read a little bit from the Lamrim texts. You can do confession Buddhas, 35 confession Buddhas. Here's a picture depicting that. You can do more purification practices, and then you dedicate. And dedication is a wonderful practice, and we'll talk about that a little bit. Anyways, in the evening, you have a happy mind and a good sleep. Okay? So the plan for today, we're going to talk about this, I call it a meditation manual. What do I do? Okay? So, I'll keep it short at that. And just some books you should be familiar with. is obviously, I've shown you this several times, but let me just show you. Liberation in palm of your hands. This is a wonderful, wonderful discourse, concise discourse of the entire path to Lambrim. There are some details in here, and you may have to read more than once. But let me tell you, I just read the required reading just to refresh myself. All the practices are there, what you should do, why you should do, and how you should visualize. It's amazing how beautiful it's represented in this beautiful book. Okay? Also, in the regular required readings on page 57, Lama Zopa Rinpoche actually walks you through all the how to actually meditate. So sometimes the question comes, what should I meditate on? Well, Lambrim has many subjects, right? We've all gone through all those subjects. Precious human rebirth, impermanence and death, right? Guru devotion, obviously karma, samsara, all of these things, emptiness, so many things in there, right? It tells you how to actually do your meditation, what thoughts you should bring up, what questions you should bring up. Very nicely done. At least for next class, take a look at that page 57. Just at least take a look at a couple of those things and read through it. It's not that dense at all. Of the reading, required reading of this course. You can get it from, as Linda Shah said, you can download a lot of those readings.
Hey, Matt, can I just ask, are you referring to page 57? It's not in the wish-fulfilling golden sun. It's the advice on daily practice.
Correct. Sorry. Thank you. There's so many required readings.
Thanks for
But it's a very small booklet. It is the same one where it says, what do you do in the morning? How to set up an altar? That one. If you go, it's in the further down. It's a very nice how to meditate. Do meditation on Lambrim. Okay? Today we're going to go through core components. You know, we don't want you to get overwhelmed. And obviously, I will reemphasize quality over quantity. You know, when you read these things and don't understand, ask why. And know that that's okay. We'll go to it again. Find out, learn, dig deeper, question it. And then develop real sense, the quality, little but better. Fully understand those concepts. Okay, and take it slow. Okay, so now we start talking about the next real, what do I do? Alright, these are called the six preparatory practices. What are we preparing for? You're going to do meditation, right? So let's just talk a little bit. You get up in the morning, you develop bodhicitta. I'm going to show you some preliminary prayers that you do. Very short. You can bless your feet, your mala, your speech, right? There are a couple of things you can bless. And what are you blessing? Are you really blessing your lips and tongue? Training your mind. And once you do that from your heart, from your mind, what happens is when you speak, it changes the person you are addressing. The tone changes. The person listening is blessed. It's the power of your mind and the energy, the clarity and intensity of that feeling comes out from you. Then other people feel good about that. You feel good about that. So these preliminary practices are very powerful practices. Very short. It doesn't take a long. A lot of people have jobs. So they think, okay, if you do everything Lama Zopa Rinpoche says, I'm not going to work. I better retire. Okay, some of us have calls in the morning, early morning, late nights. So it's understand. And again, I will reemphasize, even Lama Zopa Rinpoche says, you can arrange. You can shorten it. If you do even one or two things and create a routine for yourself, a little plan, make some changes once in a while. So you're stuck at some thought. Work on that. As far as you feel so good. It's almost like people who drink coffee, they forget to drink a cup of coffee in the morning. See how you feel. Or you leave your watch home. Feels like something is missing. It develops this real sense of wanting to do these things. It's amazing. Okay? So they're giving us the tools. So we're going to talk about six preparatory practices. Is before you start your meditation, before you sit down to really concentrate on this, there are certain things you must do to prepare your mind. These are not just mundane activities. Preparing your mind, okay? So let's talk about that a little bit. So you can see what we're going to be talking about here. First preparatory practice, okay, is cleaning the place and setting up the altar. Once the altar is set up, you don't have to worry, and we'll just talk about the altar in a second. But cleaning is very important. It says there have been Dalai Lamas. They have so many attendants to come and clean their homes and dampa and keep people come and vacuum. But many Dalai Lamas themselves will pick up the broom and clean the place where they sit down to meditate or where the altar. And there's a story of a small analogy. If you read Pabanka Rinpoche in your reading, you'll see there's a guy called Surapatanka. Was a very dull monk. They kind of put him in a monastery, became a monk, but they found out after no matter what they said, he could not remember a thing. If they said, say, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, he would remember Buddha, not the Sangha. If he remembered the Sangha, he forgot the Buddha. It was not penetrating the thick skull there. So, to make it short, Buddha approached him one time and said, I want you to do one thing. I want you to take a broom and just clean the front yard where the people are learning or doing their practices. Just go out and clean the yard. He said, all right. And he says, just every time you clean, say, dirt be gone, stains be gone. Just say that again and again and again. It sounds very simple. And you kind of think, oh, I know what this is leading to, but just think about this for a second. So he would clean the yard, and by the time he comes this way, this side gets dirty. And by the time he comes here, this side gets dirty. But he did that without questioning for months. Then one day he's cleaning and cleaning and he's internalizing, what am I doing? What am I cleaning? This gets dirty all the time. He internalized it and he realized that he was cleansing his mind. He was cleaning up obscurations, no stains, no thoughts. And he did that. After which he was given another job, and at one point Buddha said, you will be the abbot of this nunnery. So the nuns were very upset, saying, this is a finger pointing at us or what, or why would we get such a dumb guy? So to mock at him, they did what they called Shanti Deva's test. They created the throne so high without the steps. And then they invited everybody in the town to say, hey, there's going to be a great teaching. A couple of purposes there. But what happens is, when Siddhartha comes there, he's very attained at this point. He is a very realized being. He is able to do some magical things, or he had attainments, and he was able to get up on the throne and sit down. And he started to teach, and people were like, wow. Completely vowed. And the nuns learned a lesson. People who never heard of Dharma got Dharma. Some people understood the benefit of Mahayana. So all different people learned so many things from him. And where did it start? From cleaning the front yard. And the story, the main meaning of the story is, don't underestimate that feeling, even if it appears clean. Take a little broom, clean it out, and when you're doing it, think of your mind being cleansed. I'm cleansing this. Think about this for a second. When somebody is invited to your house, okay, if somebody says, why don't you come over to my home? What do? Oh, wait, my home is too dirty, right? We kind of clean it up, and we kind of do pop, 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 real quick. We vacuum it up. We do this. Why? Why? You want to have a good environment for the guest. Same way, if you're going to do your practice and you're inviting and you are developing the quality of the mind, you want to see a beautiful place. Right? That's your quality you're looking at. Do you want to be in a place in your mind to be in a dirty, filthy place? No. And that's also a lot of readings and other things that a lot of the other realms and other beings, higher beings, like to come where the things are clean. So it's a wonderful thing. So cleaning is very important. Okay? Okay, the next thing is importance of getting the things. When you do the offerings, you can offer, if you don't have a big place of meditation, you can offer some simple things, beautiful things. You know, if you think about what would you pay for wisdom, that changes your life. What would you pay to become Buddha? Right? What energy do you have when you buy a show ticket and you haven't gotten the right seat? You have an energy. I'm paying money. I better get a nice place to sit down. You have an energy, right? You give, you want something out of it. So develop that energy that I am doing this to develop my mind. Do wonderful offerings. Okay? However, the offerings should be earned, not deceitfully. You can't be, so that they talk about these things here, you know, you don't get the offerings by forcing somebody. I want some flowers, man. You better give it to me. I want to offer it to Buddha, the deity. No, you have to do it the right way. You don't want to bait somebody. You know, show something here and do something here. You don't want to bait anybody. Right? You don't want to be giving hints. Hey, why don't you pass that to me, man? I can just use it today in my practice. You don't want a hint. The inner quality of positive mind begets positive outcome. You're changing your mind. Do you think Buddha needs your flowers and water and incense? The deity needs that? No. Your Buddha nature is visualizing, smelling, all those good things. So you want to offer and don't have any pretense in it. What do you offer? You offer bowls here, right? Eight bowls, eight offerings. You see them on the in the front here. There are bowls there. If not, I don't see them. But we offer eight bowls. And what do they represent? They represent water for drinking when somebody comes to your home. This is probably a tradition from the old Asia, India, time when Buddha was around, many kingdoms. When somebody came, you offered them, they come tired, you offered them water to drink. They also walked a long distance or in heat or in mud, so they offer water. Like we give them, you want to wash your hands and feet, that thing. So you offer that. You offer flowers. You go to Hawaii, don't you get a nice little garland? Aloha, right? Little garden, something like that. It's a welcoming gesture. You offer incense, good smell. Here we use Febreze in the house, but nice incense. Some incense is medicinal, very good smell. Lights, ambiance, offer beautiful lights. You dim the lights. You go to restaurants, they have a nice dim light. They have candle on the table, right? That kind of ambiance. In India, when people came, they used to also throw like perfumed or rose water or some nice flower, just a little sprinkle. It's a gesture of welcome in a positive way. Obviously, we offer guests food, right? We do that. And then in the end, we also have some light music or something, a good atmosphere. What are we doing here? Again, the quality of our own mind. What do you want that quality to be? Think about wonderful, beautiful place, flower, clean, fresh water, good smell, right? And so you have to be very mindful. When you're doing these things, you must have a very, the intensity of the mind and the energy is towards really helping your own mind, but doing it with that feeling. Do it with feeling, not just, okay, here's eight bowls, let me just pour it, and okay, everything is all right, I'm done. Not like that. Even if you do it in a quick way, but there's a thought behind it. Okay? There's a whole traditional way of doing it, how the bowls are done, how far apart they are. They're a lot for training of your mind. Everything is done with a reason. When a king or a president comes to your house, you think you're going to say, hey, give me a cup, here's your tea. No. You're going to go with your hand and pour it nicely. So think of the humbleness in it. Okay? Sometimes, even like things like water, when you give water, it develops generosity. Right? Flowers and incense represents morality. Light represents wisdom. So there's a lot of little things going on that by doing these activities, you're putting seeds in your mind. You're putting imprints in your mind where your mind is going to be as it achieves Buddhahood. You see this, how these practices work? These little tools work? So let's talk about altar. A lot of people have questions on altar. How do I set up the altar? It doesn't have to be elaborate. But if you do have a place, you want to start with the central figure of at least Buddha or some holy or your teacher. But a Buddha deity or a Buddha picture if you don't have a deity. On the left hand side when you're facing it is teachings. Holy books. You can put Lamrim there. Pabonga Rinpoche's book there. Things, dharma that is coming to you. On the level of Buddha, or even sometimes above Buddha, they'll even put pictures of teachers, or you can put them nicely together, fine. Okay? And on the right of the Buddha is stupa, a small stupa you can buy, or you can have somebody make it, whatever. If you get a picture, put a little stupa. That's how it is horizontally. If you don't have a lot of space, and you want to put just a small little table, and it's in three layers this way, you start with your holy books, Buddha's picture, and then a little stupa. And then you can kind of put other things that can change or help your mind. What they suggest is not to make it too cluttered, that it's distractive. It needs to be a place of pleasance. And then there's ways to put it. You don't want to put it by your feet, you want to put it by your head, or you want to put it in a separate room. So think about those things. Why? Because this is your sanctuary. This is where you're developing the quality of your own mind. And would you want that if somebody's sitting in front of you and all you see is the bottom of their feet? No. We don't even like that when you sit in the plane if somebody takes their socks off. So this is, again, you develop that. When you don't know, you don't know. But when you know, this is a thought you want to have. Make sense? Any questions on that? Okay. Great. Got to keep mind of my time. I have 20 minutes, so got to cover a little bit more. Okay, then you're going to sit in the meditation position. This is the third of your six preparatory practices. What are you preparing for again? Your practice. Your meditation. You're preparing for it. But when you go into, you can clean the place up, you put some bowls if you have, you want to offer some flowers, you show some respect, you have some incense, right? You want to prepare the place before you have a cushion time. It doesn't take a lot of time, guys. I have to just explain you in the class. It seems like a lot of material. But just want you to really incorporate what is in your mind, the quality you want to develop, things you want to visualize, things your Buddhahood will take you to. Right? So that's what you're developing. But by you doing this, you're showing so much respect, love, develop humility, right? And a great state of mind. Next, you're sitting in a meditation posture, generating mind of refuge and bodhicitta. Okay? So obviously, you can also do prostrations when you go into your place of practice, just like we do in the beginning of a session. You do your three prostrations. Okay? Not because the images on the altar need your prostrations. It's your mind. It reminds us what we are trying to achieve. Okay? And then you want to sit in a seven-featured, what they call Vairochana, or a very nice posture of meditation. A chair is fine, but it's nice what we went through, right? You already know the seven postures. My hands are here, jaws are loose, the eyes are slightly open, your head is slightly tilted, you don't want to sit like this, you want some air to go through it. All of these things were developed and in a warm temperature when people sat for days meditating. They don't fall asleep. The airflow is good, so it doesn't get them uneasy. Be comfortable. But that's the position you want to be in. Yeah, it talks about check the levels of lights in your room. Sometimes if you have too much of a dim light, you may want to go back to sleep. It's too much light, you're too excited, and you may want to dim a little bit of light. If you have a food habits, you may want to check on that. Some of us like coffee in the morning first thing, right? If you drink too much coffee and too much breakfast, maybe your meditation session is not as fruitful. So you may want to just check. Different people have different habits. So just want to check on that a little bit. Okay? And obviously you want to generate the minds of refuge and bodhicitta. Okay? So for refuge, obviously you know from the meditation earlier we did, is you're going for protection. You want to accomplish your goals. It reminds us to a wish to attain Buddhahood, right? Realization. And Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, right? You heard about the doctor, the nurses, and the medicines and the nurses, right? This is what you're going to learn from. That's your community, okay? Sometimes it also is mentioned, so I'll mention it, that one of the two qualities of a refuge, one positive quality is faith. It develops conviction and faith. You trust it. I want to learn. Please give it to me cleanly. I am there. And another one, some there is a little fear. You don't want to go to the lower realms. You don't want to have a bad rebirth. So there's another reason people will also take refuge there. This is my medicine. This is my journey. This is my path. So that's another way of thinking. I'm taking refuge. I come under your protection. Help me. Learn. Right? So that's taking refuge. Then you sit down. Now so you're in the third one. You develop the mind of bodhicitta. Right? What is bodhicitta again? Compassionate mind, right? You want to be able to help all sentient beings. So again, here they talk about it. We can barely sometimes love ourselves, let alone think about the whole world. Start with something small. Somebody you care for or somebody that is deceased that you would want to help. Start small, then expand it slowly. Then think about your friends. Think about your loved ones. Slowly expand it to some people at work. People you may like, people who are neutral, and maybe some people who may irritate you. But you develop that feeling that I want to help. Okay? Bodhicitta. And then we always do it in the pujas in the morning, four immeasurables. Okay, who knows the four immeasurables? May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness, right? May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings have equanimity, free from attachment from friends and hatred for enemies. Those words are very powerful. It's a very short way of looking at it. These words are there for a quick minute, but a thought behind that is very important. Think of those words when you're doing bodhicitta. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. So think of those words. Remember, this is a meditation manual. You're preparing, you're sitting down, you're developing a mind to be clear, you have beautiful offering, your altar is set up, beautiful offerings are there, you sit on the cushion, you're developing refuge, now you're doing four immeasurables or developing bodhicitta. Then you invoke the merit field. What is the merit field? You always use these words, you know, merit field. What is the merit field? So, all the deities that you're practicing, all your teachers, these are your merit field. This is the field of accumulation. This is where you're learning and gaining your qualities of mind. Right? When you have a Buddha, he just did a meditation. He's there to help us, help to teach us. Our teachers, remember last class I said, if you are looking at the sun, the light rays of the sun are also giving you sunlight. Teachers are like that. They're teaching you the same thing Buddha taught us, but they are here in front of you, teaching you. So open your mind to that. That's how you get this merit field. So there's a very complex way of actually visualizing it in Pabongka Rinpoche. In the beginning, you don't have to do that. What you see in front, you invite your teachers, you invite Buddha. Where are you inviting them? On your desk? No, in your mind. Because that's the quality you want. You want the teachings. You want your mind to become Buddha. You want this feeling. You want this sense. Right? That's what you're doing. So that's called accumulating, field of accumulation, and we practice offering to, we offer to them, right? For practice today, we did Shakyamuni Buddha, right? You can also have Tara, you can have Chenrezig, any deity of your practice. Remember, they're not separate things. They're emanations of the same Buddha nature. Whatever makes you feel that it's helping you and he or she is there for you, that deity is fine. You can do the same meditation we did and instead of saying Om Mune Mune Maha Mune Soha, you can say Om Tare Ture Soha, or you can say Om Mani Padme Hum. You develop that quality. If you do compassionate Chenrezig, then you develop that quality. So all is the same. Okay? But start with Shakyamuni Buddha. You don't have any fringes to it. Don't have to know details. It's simple. He was a teacher. Okay? So try to make good use of merit field. This is the 5A of the 6, prayer and mandala offering. Okay? So, mandala offering is a complex symbolism, but you're offering the universe, theoretically. You're offering the universe. Who remembers the mandala short? There are a couple of ways of mandala offering. There are 4 different ways. They typically, when they do the outer mandala, inner mandala, mandala of voidness, and a secret mandala. But outer and inner is a place you visualize in your mind. This ground anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, right? The 4 continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha field and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure land. You're creating this beautiful atmosphere. When you, in your reading, is the wish-fulfilling golden sun. It explains to you how, in the Buddhist training, how these things are. What are these 4 continents and the 4 directions and what are these mountains and all that. You can do that on your own. But it's an offering of the universe. Okay? And there's also an inner mandala offering. You can even take your own things inside your mind and offer it. Okay? The object of my attachment, aversion. Okay? Okay? And attachment, ignorance, and aversion. Then you can see my friends, family, and strangers. My body, wealth, and enjoyment, I offer this. Please accept it with pleasure and bless me with the freedom from the poisons. You can do so many ways you can offer beautiful mandala. And there's a real intricate way of this little mandala, what do you call those things, Patty? Yes. Rings. And they put the rice and the jewels, and there's a whole thought behind it. But anyways, you can visualize this. And again, I will show you in your prayer book, mandala offering is there, very short. Mandala offering is there, you can develop. And they usually do a symbol like this. You can see them, a lot of times people will do this. Remember, it represents the Mount Meru, the 4 continents. It also looks like lotus to me. But you know, it's a beautiful offering, I offer it. Right? So that's mandala offering. Mandala offering is there. Okay, so let's take a look at this. There's one more after this. Oh, 7 limbs. Main thing. 7 limb prayer. That's also in there. How many times you've heard the 7 limb prayer? I prostrate with my body, speech, and mind. I present clouds of all things actual and imagined. Right? I declare all my negative actions accumulated since the beginningless time. You know, right? And rejoice in the merits of all holy and ordinary beings. Please remain until the end of cyclic existence and turn the wheel of Dharma. We say these things very quickly, but each one has a meaning. I prostrate with my body, speech, and mind. Right? I make offerings. So we already talked about offerings. Imagine universe. You can offer one flower, but your mind can offer millions of flowers. You can offer gardens. Imagine all the beautiful colors, smells. You can offer that. And I declare my negative actions sounds like a confession, but think about it. You're confessing here. You're not confessing somewhere out there. Some people have negative connotation to that, but you're bringing the truth. Something is wrong, you bring it in front of you and analyze that, and you're offering that up. I'm okay. Cleanse yourself. Then we don't give enough air time to rejoicing. We always think about the negatives, horrible things, bad things, dukkha, suffering, but they give you equal time to rejoice all the good qualities. You are here today in a perfect human rebirth because you did a wonderful things. You have some wonderful karmas. You were generous. You had morality. You had patience. And that's why you are in a perfect human rebirth. So you rejoice that. Be kind. You can also rejoice others. Rejoice Richard Gere for being with Dalai Lama. Develops a great, takes away, it's an antidote to jealousy if somebody's having a good time or they're having fortunate times. Thank them. It's wonderful. Develops a lot of good qualities in you when you do that. Then you ask teachers to remain. Okay, ask teachers to turn the wheel of Dharma. In other words, teach me. Teach me. Sometimes lamas, we think in Western world that the teacher knows what to teach, so he'll go through his little schedule and teach you what's necessary. It's not like that. You need to yearn for it. It also helps. The teachers have karmic life too, and they go, but you ask them to stay so the teaching stays with you. That's your yearning for learning Dharma. You tell them to remain until the end of samsara so that they can live for a long time. How many pujas we do elaborately for long life pujas? That's the point. Right? So, those are seven limb prayers, and obviously we talked about mandala offering, and give you a real quick overview of preparatory practices. Overview. Take a look at it. We went through these things. So now let's bridge it together. Right? While we have 10 minutes left, we'll go through last limb, which is making requests. Simple request. Stay. Teach me. Help me. Be there. You can make requests. Help my mind. Positive reinforcement. Right? This is wonderful practice, guys. This six preparatory, all preparation to do your meditation. Then you can sit down and do your meditation. Okay? So let's quickly, there are four parts to preparation we talked about. Must have motivation. Motivation drives you to do the actions. It makes it happen. If you want to go home early today, you'll find a way, won't you? If you're hungry, you find a way to a refrigerator, don't you? So when you're yearning for Dharma and teachings, why not have a good motivation? Make a pointed motivation, very clear motivation, what you want to achieve. Okay? You have actual meditation then, and it teaches you different meditations you can do. Take a look at those, Lam Rim meditation. There are other books I can share with you after class, how to do, and wonderful, if you look at the Lam Rim, you can have a meditation on devotion to Guru, precious human rebirth, death and impermanence, samsara and nirvana. You can have meditation on bodhicitta. You can have meditation on emptiness. Right? There are many, many meditations you can have, and they're very beautifully written down, and Lama Zopa Rinpoche also does a wonderful job. So does Pabongka Rinpoche in the palms of your liberation, palm of your hand. Take a look at those meditations. They're there for you. Lam Rim meditations are there. There are quite a few, actually. In the beginning, you may not, but there are any, of course, calm abiding. You have gone through meditation, 101 or the RDB class. You know, you have calm abiding, we do with the breath, but then you can take a topic and really question it and learn about it, incorporate it, so you can do those meditations. And in the end, you must dedicate. When you dedicate, it stays longer. You let it out. Be there. You make a great conviction in you also by dedicating. It's also out for everybody. This is a wish. It develops your bodhicitta. How wonderful. So you see how they have given you formula. This is determined to break today. So you have morning practices, developing bodhicitta. Do your activity, do your preliminary prayers, do your preparatory practices, sit on the cushion, do your meditation. So with the you prepare, you motivate, do your meditation, dedicate. Now you're ready to get out of the house, do some activity. Next couple of classes I will also talk to you about what you do in between sessions. That's not over, because remember, you're changing your mind while driving, while going somewhere, with grocery shopping, and you open the door, then you get clothed, then you comb your hair. There are ways to think about things to make it positive in your mind. So that's the essence of taking daily. There are wonderful books out there, guys. There are offering practices. These are not expensive things, but if you are really serious, taking the essence all day, all night is a very wonderful book. Offering practices are there. There's a couple of things out there. If you're interested, take a look at it at least. Right? So with that, we'll do a dedication, then I want to show you something. So we did motivation. We went through the classes today. You learned about the preparatory practices. Within that, you learned that in one of the preparatory practices, you do seven limb prayers. Seven limb prayers has seven limbs, and why are they called limbs? It's just like this. We need hands and we need legs to have this body function. The car needs a tire and a hood and a cover to protect you and ride you. These are limbs necessary for your mind to turn positive and to develop those qualities. That's why they're called seven limbs, right? We talked about setting up an effective motivation. And so in closing, we'll do a really nice dedication. So, let's do this. I have a real nice. So let's close by dedicating all this energy that we have generated by making effort to listen to these teachings and understanding how to apply them in our lives to the swift awakening of ourselves and the supreme happiness of every single living being, especially those represented by characters in our life. May we be able to put all of these teachings into practice exactly in the manner in which they are intended and quickly develop the qualities of enlightenment within us for benefit of all. May all the teachers teaching true paths to enlightenment in any time, in any place, have long and fruitful lives. May all their wishes be fulfilled. We have 3 or 4 more minutes. Let me just show you. Do you have the prayer book, the golden prayer book, in front of you? So let me walk you through it very quickly. Sometimes it's wonderful just to open this up and read it. In the morning, very, very first thing you see is called the morning activities. Can be simpler than that. It's on the page 15. Okay? And look at the title on the top near the page, Preliminary Practices. You've developed bodhicitta. Then this is a mantra. If you want to say it, you don't have to. You can do just the speech. But very nice. Once you know it, it goes very quickly. In the beginning, you feel like you have to memorize and all this. Don't worry. You can just open the page up and just read it. And all you need to know is that by saying these words, it increases your activity or your actions multiple times. All the positive things you do that you tell yourself may multiply many, many times. Remember, be large. That's what it does. The next one, it blesses the mala. So think about it. Every time you pick up your rosary or mala, or you want to do some practice with a mala, just thought that may all of these mantras be very helpful. May they be blessful. May they be give me the qualities I need, I seek. And so you bless that. You're blessing your mind. Right? Then you can even bless your feet. You know so many animals are going to come under your feet. Some problems may happen. Just by visualizing that you don't intend to hurt anyone, that may you walk carefully. And you just remember that. Develops nice humbleness. Then, if you go to the next one, very important one, that Lama Zopa Rinpoche has made some changes, and he mentions this, number one, blessing the speech. A wonderful practice. They say once you practice this and really go through it in the way it is written here, you just have to read through it. And it will bless your body, speech, and mind, but especially the way the speech is. It says it has so much power in it that what you say has so much immense effect. If somebody hears you, has a positive outcome. So you're very mindful of what you say. Right? Then you can go through this, and then I want you to see, there's a mantra for washing. You can take precepts, but look at when you go to page 26. you can even invoke, in other words, when the deities are and teachers are there, you, in your mind you can say, be here now, be present, be here now. That means in your mind is ready. That's that energy. Okay? And then look on the right side, the seven limb prayer. After that, short mandala offering. Something is resonating now? If you turn the page, inner mandala offering. So anyways, these things are all that. Then if you go to page 34, that's the correct way to look at it. So remember we said you sit down on your cushion, you do your refuge, and develop bodhicitta. You see that? Taking refuge and generating bodhicitta. Then develop compassion of bodhicitta. So four immeasurables are there. I went through that. Then there's a seven limb prayer, short mandala offering. It kind of walks you through it. So you can do your preliminary blessing, the speech, feet, mala. You can go to daily prayer straight here, take refuge, generate bodhicitta, offer seven limb prayers, do the short mandala offering, and then look after that is a dedication prayer. Okay? Now, if you turn the page to 39, if you are inclined to do as Lama Zopa Rinpoche said, and you have time to do it, wonderful, wonderful practice, so much power behind this practice is the 35 Confession Buddha. It's a purification practice in the morning. Great for exercise also. So you go through that. So when you get time, read through this. It includes, the 35 Confession Buddha includes Medicine Buddha. Okay, you'll see that. And so it's a really nice practice. Okay, now, if you go in the back to page 246, these are dedication prayers. You have a Shanti Deva, and you're following that, King of Prayers. All kind of things are there for you. So it's a very powerful book, and those very inclined to do this seriously and are, have a hard time learning some of these things, they even in FBMT, this entire prayer book, golden prayer book is in CD. So you can hear them. I mean, there's a lot of beautiful tools. So while you're doing things around, you're developing your mind, these are going on. They even have 35 Confession Buddhas. In the beginning you're learning the stainless steel one, the victorious one, whatever you're saying, you don't remember, this is a great way to have it. It's another tool. But all I'm saying is, think about this, get up in the morning, bodhicitta, do your preliminary prayers, bless your mala, bless your speech, bless your mantras. Then you're going into sitting down, and before you do your preparatory practices, clean the room, off, welcome the merit field, do your offerings. You know, you can do that. Sit down, develop the refuge in your mind. I go to refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, Dharma, and Supreme Assembly. We say that all the time. Develop bodhicitta, the four immeasurables. Do the seven limb prayer. See? So you can see how it goes, and it becomes the practice. Then, if you have time, and if on another day or that day, take one topic that you want to contemplate. Meditate on a Lam Rim topic. Do some reading. You have started a book, read two pages if you want. Just continue. Like get your mind into it. Then leave peacefully, dedicate, leave, do your activity, and then you can do the other things you want to do. And you sit in your car when you're driving. Think about these things, how you can take the essence of the day. Come back in the evening. Some people do before eating, may want to do Vajrasattva. Think about all the negative things that happened. Put them out there, regret, remedy, rely on the teachings, and resolve, I will not do it, I will attempt to stop it from not doing it. And then do your Vajrasattva practice, read a little Lam Rim, go to sleep. And it will, after a while, become this routine of your life. Right? Thank you. Thank you for staying a little late, 2 minutes. I have something to give out if you want. This helped me when I was new. The teacher of DB class said he developed a Lama Tsongkhapa teachings. You can put Buddha here, you can put Lama Tsongkhapa, or you can put your teacher, whoever, but it goes through what I just told you in a certain way. So I'm going to pass it around. Just observe it.
And if it helps you organize and look in the book to see, okay, where is the four imperishables? Oh, where is this? Where is that? It will help you in a very short way.
And Hema, I'll add that if you want to, I think it's okay with Kadampa Center, if you want to take pictures of the prayer book, the pages that you just went through, you can just you take your cell phone out and take pictures of those pages so you have those prayers at home.
Any questions? Feel good a little bit? I think you learned a little bit of routine of what I do, A after B, B, A comes before B, C, you know, A, B, C, D, a little bit more routine. We're peeling the onion. We did the meditations, you get the sense of it, and then we said this is how you do it. Okay? We'll continue on next Monday, but unless you have any questions, I'll be around. Feel free to talk to me, ask me questions. Hopefully I can answer you. If not, I will ask Geshe-la and come back to you. But certainly we'll try to help as many way I can. Thank you. Wonderful.